Blog Talk Radio.
And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room. They went up into an upper room.
In the Christian tradition, based on Acts 1:13, the upper room was said to be the site of the Last Supper, i.e., the cenacle. But it was not the upper room found in Mark 14:15 and Luke 22:12 is the site of the Last Supper. However, the upper room in Zion, Acts 1:13, located on Mount Zion in the city of Dawid, was the usual place where the apostles of Adonai Baruch Hu stayed in Jerusalem. And according to the Rastafari Encyclopedia, based upon Acts 2:42, as it is written, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. It was thus the first church of the Nazarene, our black master and savior, Jesus Christ, and said by many to be the first Christian church.
Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren.
Sabbatical study, this I Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong. Shem Av Wahabain Ruaha Kadosh. Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Glory be. Glory be. We're gonna ride up here for this force. Here for the fifth aliyah, the fifth reading, the fifth aliyah, the fifth offering, the fifth aliyah here for this Shabbat Wayera, Sabbath, and he appeared here, picking up with the first book of Moshe, the Hebrew book that is called Genesis. Here from the Sefer Bereshit, here we pick up with Genesis chapter 21 at verse 5 for the Hamishi, for the fifth reading, the fifth up offering here for this Shabbat Wayera. With Abraham ben Me'ata Shanna, Behi Waleda Loa, Eita Yitzchaka Beno, and Abraham was 100 years old. With Abraham ben Me'ata Shanna, when his son Yitzchak, Isaac, was born to him. And Sarah said, Watomera Sarah. And Sarah said, Elohim hath made me to laugh. So that all that hear will laugh with me. Watomer Sarah. Sehoka asali Elohim, kola ha shomeya yitzchak li. And Sarah said, Elohim has made me to laugh. Sehoka asali Elohim. That here will laugh with me. Kola ha shomeya yitzchak li. And She said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Yitzhak, that Isaac was weaned. Hear, 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 picking up verse 9, the bondwoman and her son cast out. The bondwoman and her son cast out. Compare and contrast Galatians chapter 4, focus verses, verses 21 to 31. Galatians chapter 4, focus verses, verses 21 to 31. Hear, hear, hear. Genesis chapter 21, verse 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, who she had born to Abraham. Make. Wherefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Yitzhak, with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of because of his son. And Elohim said to Abraham, make it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman and all that Sarah hath said to thee. Hearken to her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed, thy race, be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed, Zaikah. And Abraham rose up early in the boker in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness, the Midbar of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him, a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, make me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him, and lift up her voice, and wept. And Elohim heard the voice of the lad, and the Melaaka Elohim, the angel of Elohim, called to Hagar out of Shemaim, out of heaven, and said to her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for Elohim hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And Elohim, the true God, opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And Elohim was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt Bamidbar in the wilderness, and became an archer. And he dwelt in the Midbar in the wilderness of Faran, of Paran. And Imo and his mother took him a Isha, a woman, a wife, out of the land of Mitzrayim, out of the land of Kemet, out of the land of Egypt. And hear, Shema Yisrael, hear, for the Sheishi, Aliyah, for the sixth reading, the Sheishi Aliyah, the sixth up-authoring, here for this Shabbat Wayera. For this Sabbath, and he appeared. Here picking up with the first book of Moses, Hebrew book called Genesis chapter 21, here at verse 22, for the Sheishi, for the sixth reading, the Sheishi Aliyah. Wayahiyah b'ayta hahiyah wayomera abi melek uafikola saras ba'o ila Avraham leimor Elohim imeka b'kola asher ata ose b'kola asher ata ose. And it came to pass at that time, at that Iwa, Wayahiyah b'ayta hahi, that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake to Abraham, saying, Wayomer Abi Melech Ua Phicol Saras Evaoa Ela Abraham Lemor. Elohim is with thee, I. Elohim Eimekah. Elohim Eimekah. Elohim is with the I. Elohim Eimekah. Recall Asher Ata Ose. Elohim is with thee, I, in all that thou doest. Now, therefore, swear to me, swear to I, hear the Elohim, by Elohim, the true good, the true God, that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, with I, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done to thee, I, thou shalt do to I, to me, and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water, which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, I wot not who hath done this thing. I don't know who has done this thing. Neither yet heard I of it, but today. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech. And both of them made a covenant. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said to Abraham, what mean these 7 ewe lambs which thou the eye has set by themselves? And he said, for these 7 ewe lambs, these 7 female lambs, for 7 ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness to me, to I, that I have digged this well. Wherefore he called that place Be'er Sheva, Be'er Sheba, because they swear, both of them. Thus, like this, they made a covenant at Be'er Sheva, at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up and Phicol, the chief captain of his hosts, and they returned to the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba, in Beersheba, and called there on the name, on the shame of Yahweh, of Jehovah, the everlasting God. B'shemi Hoa El Olam, and there, and called there on the shame of Yahuwah, of Jehovah, El Olam. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days.
That's what the world needs today.
turned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes.
From the upper room of Zion, what they be on, distinguishing the light seeker from the peon. Rise, say it on us, lay upon us, knowledge that is eons. Old has it been told since the days of old, and I sit watching the story unfold. Yeshua gave us the code, gave us the name, Ketamawi Hala Selassie, the first will reign. The opener of the book of the seven seals. Time for the gathering, it's the matter, and no, not the Vatican. Christ in his kingly character, we on that again. I'ma keep speaking the scriptures until I'm out of wind. Built on the true foundation, there's no shaking. There's no need of you hating, stop hesitating. How many of you have been waiting? In the upper room, we meeting in the upper room of Zion.
These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room. They went up into an upper room. Upper room. Upper room. Upper room.
The upper room. The upper room.
His foundation is in the wall of mountains. Jealous is the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things have been spoken of the O city of God. I'll make mention to Rahab and Babylon, to them that know I. With the old Philistine, Tyria, with Ethiopia, it shall be said that this man was born there. And the highest himself shall establish the earth. Jah Rastafari.
I would like to read a paragraph from my introduction, which says, some might ask why a Jewish person should write a book about the Ethiopian Orthodox Tewahedo Church. From my first year at Harvard University, when I became the first Ethiopian student of the famous Divinity School, studying comparative religions, I began to realize that the Ethiopian Orthodox Tewahedo Church is the most Jewish of all Christian churches.
Being spread all over another country, another way of thinking. I also heard that you eating is also kosher eating. I mean, you're not eating pork and things like that, you know.
Are you Jewish?
Yes.
Okay.
Rasta.
I don't understand.
Well, I am Rasta with you.
So it's the same tradition as for
the lion of the tribe of Judah. That must be Jew. Judah. Yeah. What's from Jew? I was classed as Judah.
To his many followers, Jesus Christ was black, and Haile Selassie as the returned Messiah. Bob Marley was not just a pop star, but a prophet. The spiritual leader of a religious movement that is fast becoming a political force in the Caribbean. That movement is called Rastafari. In our report, first shown last December, Rastas believe that Ethiopia was and is the true biblical Israel. Thus, as they see it, blacks were the original chosen people of God, and the Jews are imposters. They say that Jesus Christ was black, and they worship Haile Selassie as the returned Messiah. Africa is their promised land. All other civilization is Babylon. And Babylon's leader, considered by them to be the devil on earth, is the Pope.
We kill him every thought we have. It's just to kill the Pope. Kill him. Kill out Rome. Kill Babylon.
And you're serious about that?
Yeah. And how we're going to kill them, though, is with lightning, earthquake, and thunder. Not gun or bayonet, which is Babylon's weapons, but with lightning, earthquake, and thunder.
Rastaman Arthur Kitchen's Kill the Pope sentiments are shared by Rastas throughout the island. The scene is a hillside on the outskirts of Kingston. The sound is Rastafarian drums, symbolic thunder, rolled in daily ritual. Four drum beats aimed at the four corners of the world, so no Pope can escape. Babylon will fall is the Rastaman's constant litany. They are praying, hoping, singing for survival, and for escape. Their music is called reggae, now popular worldwide.
For her sins have reached unto heaven, that ye be not partakers of her sins. Come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people. My people, my people, my people, my people, my people, my people.
And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, my people, my people, my people, my people. Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel?
Boko Yom Hamishi. It is the fifth day of the week, and we do have a Tehillim that is recited in the fifth day of the week, found in chapter 81, and again it will be recited also in Hebrew. Let's begin. Ramnazeha Alhagetit La Asaf Hanimu Lelohim Uze Haru Lelohe Yaakov Sou Zenwa Utneto Tino Naim Elnavo Tiku Vahore Shofa Bakese Reyo Hage Ti Kouf La Yisrael Kou Mishpot L'Elohe Yaakov Edut Bihoset Sam Bezit Alweet Mizraim Sofat Lo Yadati Eshma Hasivoti Misaved Shiku Kape Midut Tavona Bazara, Kalata, Vahalvis, Yu, Vasutra, Vaam, Echan, Alme, Mbiva, Sela, Shema, Ame, Veeda, Ba, Yizere, Im, Tishmale, Logiye, Vu, El, Za, Dilo, Tishkahave, Leel Neha, Anoke, Yahava, Elohe, Hamaal, Meewet, Midrayim, Hachetu, Baamale, Veloshama, Ame, Lakole, Vinizeyer, Lo avale. Eva acharche. Bishweli. Leba. Yoko. Bimboa zote. Lu. Ame. Shomea. Li. Israel. Bilwake. Yahaleko. Kima. Poeve. Apnea. Vai, Zoe, Ashiv, Yadik, Mazane, Yahava, Yaka Hashulo, Vihe, Ita, Loyam, Vaya Akile, Mehalev, Heta, Umizo, Devash, Asbeo.
I'm calling on your name, Jehovah.
Psalm 81. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a song, and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. Psalm 81. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a song, and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel, and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. Thou calledst in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. My people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of them. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies, and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him. Their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat. With honey out of the rock should I have satisfied, Chapter 18. Chapter 18. Chapter 18. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. He sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from my servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter, and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before him. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. And the men rose up from thence, and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now, and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which is come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sake. And Abraham answered and said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, If I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, Peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. The Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. We'll be right back.
sabbatical study, this Ainai Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong.
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 Shabbat
Chapter 19. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, and they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides? Son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham gat up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham, and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar, and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth.
Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father. And he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow, that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son, and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son, and called his name Ben-Ammi, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day.
Sabbatical study, this I and I Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong, 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 Shabbat strong.
Chapter 20. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country, and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, She is my sister. And Abimelech king of Gerar sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night, and said to him, Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, She is my sister? And she, even she herself, said, He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning, and called all his servants, and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham, and said unto him, What hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, What sawest thou, that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, Because I thought, Surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, This is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me. At every place whither we shall come, say of me, He is my brother. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants, and gave them unto Abraham, and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, Behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleaseth thee. And unto Sarah he said, Behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee and with all other. Thus she was reproved. So Abraham prayed unto God, And God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife.
Sabbatical study, this I and I Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong, 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 Shabbat.
Yes, 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 yes. We're gonna play one more audible, but there you go. Yes, sir. Sima, 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 are you still here?
Chapter 21. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived, and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba, and the water was spent in the bottle. And she cast the child under one of the shrubs, and she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him, and lift up her voice, and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven, and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now therefore, swear unto me here by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son,
but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, I wot not who hath done this thing. Neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it, but today. And Abraham took sheep and oxen, and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, What mean these 7 ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, For these 7 ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because there they swear both of them. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up, and Phicol the chief captain of his host, and they returned into the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba, and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days.
Yes, yes, yes. Shalom, Haberim, right here for the 4th practical study for this Shabbat Strong.
Sabbatical study, this I and I Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat Strong.
So here for this sabbatical study, just going over some of the basic reading there, Scorby, the Plain, KJV. So here for the 5th day of the Shavua here, as we are approaching the 6th and therefore the Shabbat Eve and the TJIF, let's go to some study. Right here.
Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren.
So here in the Rastafari Yeshiva, here on the Inn and the Iris, so for this 4th sabbatical study for the Parsha, Vayera, called in modern Hebrew, Vayera. So here, let's go to some of the basic Q&As right here. Give thanks to John J. Parsons and the Hebrew for Christians. Going to refer to some of the questions and answers. And, you know, I'll give a little bit more where the Royal Order of the Ethiopian Hebrew information is not included, so we can see things and put it into the proper HD Hebrew definition for we Ethiopian Hebrews, Royal Order, right here. So the first question here. Now we have about 80 questions. So here at this particular day, we'll seek to get through at least 20, maybe pushing it, maybe 20, 30
beyonce, if possible, maybe 40 questions, but at least get some of the basic foundation here. First question here to the title and the theme right here for the Shabbat, Vayera, Shabbat Vayera. What does the Hebrew Vayera, what does Vayera mean, Chaberim? So here, picking up with Genesis chapter 18, key verse, the first verse and the first words, Vayera, Yahuwah, and he who be who he be, Vayera. Vayera is the third person masculine singular of the verb, the Hebrew verb, ra'ah, 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 ra'ah. What is ra'ah? Ra'ah is to see. Ra'ah is to see in the passive, what's known as the passive voice, or Hebraically the Nephile sense, meaning, and Vayera, and he appeared, and he became visible. He who be who he be, the invisible, became visible. Vayera, Vayera, and he appeared. With the explicit subject, the subject here is Yahweh, Yod-Heh-Weh-Heh is he who be who he be, YHWH, Tetragrammaton, standing for the Hashem. The explicit subject is the Hashem, is Yahweh or Jehovah. Now note that the direct object to him, so often is translated as, and the Lord appeared to him, but the direct object, Hebraically speaking, to him is left indefinite, though we get to understand this to be Avraham, Vayera, Yahuwah, and he who be who he be appeared. Who, Avraham, who had been circumcised according to tradition 3 days earlier. So reading the narrative, it has been deduced that we have like a 3 days from the previous Torah reading and feeding for the previous, the third sabbatical study for Shabbat, lech lecha, go for thyself. At the end of that, the fulfillment, Abraham and the covenant, the Brit Milah, circumcision as a sign, and Abraham circumcising himself. And then we move forward right here to the fourth for Shabbat, Vayera, Shabbat, Vayera. Second question. So, Vayera, and he appeared, and he who be who he be, Yahuwah, appeared, became visible. The sense here is he became visible. The invisible, the not visible, the unapparent became apparent. Vayera, Yahuwah. Question number two. Where did Ha Elohim Hailehim, the Almighty, appear to Abraham? Where did Hashem appear to Abraham? This also is found in the very first verse here in Genesis chapter 18 at verse 1 for this Shabbat, Vayera, this fourth Parsha Torah reading and feeding. Where? Question number two. Where did Hailehim appear to Abraham? Yahuwah appeared to him, according to the text here, Be'elonei Mamre, in the trees of Mamre. Now, if you look at the KJV, the King James Version of the Bible, it says something to the effect of in the plains, P-L-A-I-N-S, in the plains, like the flatlands. No, that's incorrect. That's a mistranslation. In the Hebrew, Elone, from the Elon. Elon is a tree. It's a strong tree. Some liken it to the terebinth tree, or a strong oak tree. And when we study it Hebraically, Elone from Ayel, has a sense of the strong, in the sense of the Almighty, the El and Elohim, Ha'el, Elone, the God tree. So the word Ayel in the Hebrew as Ha'el means strong, almighty, powerful. So in the strong trees, but the point right here is that KJV brings out in the plains, but actually it should read that Yahuwah Jehovah appeared to him in the trees, in the strong oak trees, the terebinth trees, you could say the God trees, Be'elone Mamre, in the trees of Mamre, of Mamre. Some say perhaps this was to demonstrate or manifest that just as an old tree still bears fruit, so would Abraham bear fruit or offspring even in his old age. But the point right here of where did Ha'ilahim Yahuwah Eloheinu appear to Abraham is not like the KJV has translated it, in the plains, but in the trees. He who be who he be appeared in the trees of Mamre, in the strong, the God trees, Be'elone Mamre. Question three, who was Mamre? Who was Mamre? Also found in Genesis chapter 18, the very first verse. Mamre. Mamre was the name of one of the three Philistine chiefs who had joined forces with Abraham in pursuit of Kedorlaomer to save Lot in Genesis chapter 14 at verse 13 and verse 24. He was Abraham's friend, or in the Hebrew sense, his chaber, as we say, chaberim, his associate, his friend. Also, we can also see that no doubt he may have been a co-religionist or spiritualist amongst the Philistines at that particular time, Mamre. Also, a little more research on Mamre. The name brings out one of the senses of the name is to have vigor or strength. So even in the name Mamre, which matches a good kind of Kemetic or Egyptian Mitzrayim Smaitawi name as well. So there's more right there. But Mamre was an associate or one of Abraham Ha'ibri, Abraham the Hebrews, one of his Haberim, as it says, he was confederate. So we say he was a co-spiritualist, or as ones would say, a co-religionist. Also in the spirituality, no doubt a Hebrew, or perhaps also one of the souls that Abraham had gotten, you know, back in Haran. Question number four, right here. According to the Jewish and more of the modern nowadays Jewish and Judaic tribe tradition, why was Abraham, quote, sitting at the door of his tent in the heat of the day? Bechom hayom, chom, related to cham, as Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Yafet. Ham means like the heat and hot and heatness, right? So he sat in the door, right, of his tent, in the opening of his tent, the patach of his ohel, his tent, in the hottest part, the heat of the day. But according to Judaic tradition, why was this so? Why was it at this time? Well, many say that he was recovering from his circumcision in his old age. The sages, they state that Jehovah came to pay him a visit as one of the, we say, the practices of the Hebrew, you know, the Hebrew Torah observant ways to show this kind of kindness. So if you have a friend or someone who is sick, you go visit them if you know that they are sick or recovering. Right here, as we know, the narrative also states, furthermore, even through the prophets, that Abraham is one of the few to be called the friend of Yahuwah. So Jehovah came to visit his friend, according to Judaic tribe and tradition. Question five, right here. For this Shabbat Wayera, what does the Hebrew term Bikur Cholim? What does the Hebrew term Bikur Cholim mean, Chaberim? Bikur Cholim means visiting Bikur, the Cholim, those who are Chole. Interesting in English, holy, but Chole means to be sick. So visiting Bikur Cholim is visiting the Cholim, those who are Chol, who are sick. Implies providing comfort and support to people who are ill people who are homebound or people who are otherwise in distress. It is considered an act of kindness, an act of kindness, chassid, right? Chassid, to visit and to care for the cholim, for the sick ones in their time of need. Here we can compare the psalm that says to consider, as it says that to consider, you know, considering the poor, considering the sick, coming through for them, the bikur cholim, visiting the sick. Question six, what did Abraham see, seen, sight, Wayera Yahuwah, and he who be who he be became visible, visible to Abraham. So what did Abraham see when he was sitting in the patah, the opening of the tent, the door of his tent? Genesis chapter 18, verse 2. What did Abraham see? Abraham, he saw three men standing before him. Some say standing above him. The Hebrew script, Shalosha Anashim. Shalosha, three, Anashim, three men, or in the Hebrew sense, Anashim is to be like more mortal, mortal man. As Garmawi Nagus Neges said in the audible, he says, I'm a man, I am mortal. Here we have Shalosha Anashim, three mortal men. So it's not just three men. You know, we have different words in the Hebrew. It could say Ish, could said Ish, right? It could have said Adam, use the term Adam, Giborim, could use that term, mighty men. But here the term is Anashim, three mortal men. Shalosha Anashim, Nitzavim, Alav. Nitzavim, Alav, Nitzabim, standing. Nitzab, Nitzabim, Alayo, Alayo, standing. Directly here in the Hebrew would be above him. So bringing out from the Hebrew, Abraham saw three men. When Jehovah appeared to Abraham, he saw three men standing above him, three mortal men, Shalosha, Anashim, Nitzavim, Alayo. Abraham, he quote, ran. This old man recovering from circumcision in his old age, he ran. He ran to them, even though they stood over him, because he understood, some say, their heavenly or their angelic, their special nature, and or their mission. Question number seven. What did Abraham do when he saw the Shalosha Anashim, when he saw the three men, the trinity of mortal men, the three men in Yahuwah's special epiphany? This is what we call the Hebrew. This is a Hebrew Old Testament epiphany here. Epiphany usually is like a revelation or appearance of divinity or the divine. Here we have Genesis chapter 18, verse 2. What did Abraham do when he saw the three men, the Shalosha Anashim? He ran to meet them and he bowed himself before them. Now, here's what's interesting in the Hebrew. One of the word used for to bow or to prostrate, shahat, right, is the same word that's also used for worship. Just want to take note of that. The same word to prostrate or in a symbolic, a physical, you know, literal gesture, right, to like fall down on your face, to go down on your face. It's also the same word used here for worship. Just take note. Let's just bring this, the Chumash right here. Here we have the Chumash. First, let's go to the first two verses right here in the Hebrew Chumash. Wayera Elayo, Yahuwah be'elone mamre, wuhua yosheba petacha ha'ohel, k'chom hayom. And he who be, Yahuwah appeared, became visible. Wayera Elayo Yahuwah, and becoming visible, right, to him, right, he who be who he be, by or in the terebinth, the strong oak trees, the god trees, be'elone mamre, wuhu, vihu, and who, and he, wuhu, yosheb, sat, petach, Tah, the opening, Ha or Hell. In the opening of the tent, Petah, the Petah, Fetah, Fetah, Petah, Ha or Hell, Ke, Chom, Hayom. As it was the hottest part, as the heat of the day, some say in the heat, but here we have K, right, as like the home, as the hot part, Hayom. That's verse 1. Verse 2 here goes on to say here from the Chumash, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, look, three men stood over against him, or above him, over against him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bow down to the earth. Wayisa Einayo, and lifting up Anav his eyes, Vayar, and seeing, Vihine, look, see, here it is, Shalosha Anashim, three men, three mortal men, Nitzavim, Alav, standing above him, standing over against him, Vayar, and he's seeing, Vayarat, and he ran, Likaratam, to meet them, Mia Petah, from the opening, from the Petah, Ha Ohel, of the tent, Vayishatah Hu, and he prostrated, or we can, this can also be translated as it is elsewhere, right, this, as to worship, Wayish Tahu, and he prostrated and he worshiped Arza, groundward, Arza. Arza is from the Aret. Aret is like the earth, the ground, the earth, to say the earth, the land. Arza is like earthwards, like towards Arza, with the ha at the end, in the direction of the ground, and he prostrated and he worshiped. So we can also imply that this vision, remember, it opens up saying that, and he became visible to him, he who be who he be. And when Abraham looked up, he beheld these three men, the Shalosha Anashim. So here to question 8, Chaverim. What does the Hebrew phrase Hakanasat Orchim? Haknasat, some might say haknasat or haknasat orchim. In the Hebrew, what does it mean? It brings out the sense of hospitality. In a kind of a literal sense, the knasat or the knesset, haknasat is like the assembly. Orchim is to say like a visitor. So orchim is like a visitor or a guest. So the sense of the haknasat orchim is hosting guests or hospitality, showing hospitality. Haknasat orchim, showing hospitality to the orchim, to guests, showing kindness and charity, righteous giving, tzedakah, to the stranger. This is a virtue, Hebraically speaking, Judaically speaking, this is a virtue, right? This is considered as a virtue, one of the major expressions of the Gemulut Chassidim, acts of loving kindness, performing the Gemulut Chassidim, performing acts of loving kindness, acts of charity, right, acts of loving kindness, or even acts of mercy, chassidim, gemulut chassidim. Abraham's tent was said to have had an entrance in each direction, some say, opening on all sides so that anyone could easily enter. So that's part of the traditional interpretation, because this is bringing out the sense of Abraham's, his peculiar hospitality, Abraham's hospitality. Question 9. According to Jewish and Judaic tradition, especially more of the later day tradition, who were the three visitors? According to Genesis chapter 18, verse 2, who were the three visitors? Now, according to the latter day tradition, right, we would even say no doubt even post maybe 70 AD, but some of this tradition no doubt had crept in even during the time of Rabbeinu, Einai Rabbi Yeshua HaNotri. But according to the Judaic and nowadays Jewish tradition, who were the three visitors? The three visitors were said, and many say that these were three angels. It's interesting how most times ones will go to angels or all these other kind of things, but the text clearly says that Jehovah appeared, and in his revelation or epiphany to Avinu Abraham, he appeared as three mortal men, Shalosha Nashim. But according to latter-day tradition, and even certain Christian traditions, picking up from the latter-day Jewish Judaic traditions post-70 AD, they interpret that Michael was one sent to give the message to Abraham and Sarah about the forthcoming son. Others say that Gabriel sent to deliver judgment upon Sodom. And others say that the third one was Raphael sent to heal Abraham from the wound of circumcision. Now, according to certain Christian and certain even Nazarene, right, interpretations, some say that the central angel was the Malach Adonai, the angel Malach Adonai, or in the scripture we refer to him as the Malach Yahuwah, the angel of Jehovah, the angel of the presence, the angel of the face, a.k.a. Yeshua before his incarnation, and not Mikael. So in Judaic tradition, especially the latter-day Jewish tradition, we'll point out a book is called The Jewish Trinity by Yoel Natan. He really brings out the Tawahido orthodoxy, but based on the Hebrew scriptures, which makes a very interesting connection, you know, with as one of our elders, Ephraim Yitzhak Isaac, says, in studying the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, he notices that it's the most Jewish or Judaic of the churches. Another testimony to the tradition, you know, of Solomon, the Queen of Sheba, and even in the Bible of Moses, Moshe, and the Cushite, and his Cushite Isha, his Cushite wife. But the three visitors are often referred to in Jewish tradition as Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. We do no longer subscribe to that by studying Torah right there, and we point out the Jewish Trinity, a document known as the Jewish Trinity, as it explains from the Hebrew, you know, the ancient, you say, Tawahido, right, the true doctrine, the true teaching, that the visitation was the Hebrew Trinity, HaShelush HaKadosh, in the Hebrew, HaShelush HaKadosh, in the form of the Shalosha Nashim, and that the person of the Father, Elohim Ha'av, Elohim Ha'bein, and Elohim Ruach HaKadosh were there. So the Christian tradition is interesting because they see the central angel, even though, if you note, at best, only the two who went forward to Sodom were called angels, quote unquote, but only, let's emphasize this here, but only in the Western Gentile translations. So here's where another confusion needs to be just sorted briefly here. Angel, as we call it in the translation, is really from the Malaak, Malakim, right? The angels are really messengers. Malaak, the word for angel, like to send, one who is sent. It's interesting because if you scroll in the Torah in Genesis to where Jacob is returning from Aram Naharaim or Mesopotamia, he's returning, you'll note that he sends gifts. Furthermore, in Genesis, it's Jacob, the patriarch Jacob, who sends gifts. And it says that he sent forward messengers. Messengers were sent forward from Yaakov. But the translator says messengers there. But when you read the Hebrew, it's the very same word for that's translated elsewhere as angel. So this kind of angelology in the Western Gentile tradition become very confusing. If we will focus on it as it is written, he who be who he be, Jehovah appeared, right, as three mortal men. One of the three mortal men, the Shalosha Anashim, appears to be, appear in his appearance to be Yahuwah within the narrative. When the two others were sent forward, right, sent forward the two messengers to recover Lot and to bring forth Lot and his family and to bring forth the judgment. So the Christian tradition picks up on this angelology idea from the latter-day Jewish tradition, but they bring out something that is more correct in the revelation of the Hebrew Trinity, even aka the Jewish Trinity, concerning the presence of the Malach Adonai, the angel of Jehovah, Adonainu Yeshua, Yeshua HaNotri, Jesus of Nazareth, before his in the flesh, before his incarnality, his incarnation, before the word was made flesh, and not as some of the Jewish Judaic tradition, which interprets Mikael as Mikael, and then some Jewish traditions, they make up this Metatron. There's this Metatron, right, as a circumlocution, right, from the clarity of the ancient rabbinical truth when they knew that the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So we get this in the New Testament with Yeshua HaNotri in some areas where he refers to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And some would think that it was something that was made up at that time, but it was not. It was actually the true teaching that our rabbi, the rabbi of rabbis, Rabbeinu Yeshua HaNotri, was reproving the other ones of. He pointed out in many of his rebukes to the rabbis and the Pharisees and the scribes, he said that y'all have the keys of the kingdom, but you're practicing deception. You don't enter into it. And they were surprised that Yeshua knew the same truth that they had access to, but they were not teaching the people. Just to point it out. Now, most of the rabbis regard God or Ha'elohim as being, quote, in the background. So the later interpretation to cover up, right, what had been the former knowledge, right, of the Hebrew Trinity that Yeshua testifies in the Brit Chadasha to, and by studying HaTorah here, we can also see that that interpretation, when we learn to read and study and find the truth for ourselves, is true. But latter-day rabbis would say that God, in this case, was, quote, in the background here, right, as a sort of a, quote, bystander, right, while according to their misinterpretation, it was Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, right, despite and in spite of the Hebrew grammatical absurdities. If we take that interpretation of the latter-day Judaism post Rabbeinu Yeshua, our rabbi Yeshua HaNotri, if we take the interpretation into consideration, the first thing we would encounter by studying the Hebrew text is this is absurd. It's absurd when you see the grammatical, what it's actually saying in the text. Just as we point out to ones and ones, if you read even in the King James Bible, it says three men. But what do most people say? Oh, these are the angels, the angel. They were angels. When at best, we can only say they were angels based on the two that went forward in chapter 19. According to the King James and Western translations that choose to use the term angelos, angels, instead of as it translates the same Hebrew word elsewhere, messenger, or simply put one sent, just as the Father sent the Son. But here, question 10. How did Abraham address the visitors according to Genesis chapter 18, verse 3? He called them, or some will say him. Now, see, this is one of those textual absurdities to the false doctrines, right? When you look at the text, this is how we can weed out the false doctrines, because actually he called them, right, as him, right, Adonai, indicating that Abraham understood this to be a revelation of Ha-Elohim of Yahuwah, as we have Wayera, Elayo, Yahuwah. Note that Abraham said, he said that if I have found grace, chen, in your eyes. You notice that part there? Let's go right here. We're in Genesis chapter 18. We're at the third verse where it says, and he said, after he prostrated, after he worshiped, he said, what did Abraham said? Vayomar Adonai, 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 im na matzati chen be'aineka. Now, he says, my Lord, but actually this more correctly will be my Lord's. In other words, when we refer to he who be, who he be in some context in the Hebrew, which brings out the sense of the Hebrew Trinity, we're referring to him by using even this title here, Adonai, in its plural sense. So the translators say my Lord, but anyone who knows Hebrew is really saying my Lord's, right? If now I have found favor, but check this, in thy sight. Literally here in the Hebrew, it says, be'aynecha, 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 ayn. Ayn is I, ayn is I, eyes, aynecha, ka there is singular. So here he says, Adonai, to these three, right? My Lord's, right? My Lord, right? Im na, right? Please, if, the sense of if, please, im, if, na, please, im, na, matzati, I have found, if I have found, chen, grace, be'aineka. So here's one of these textual kind of absurdities to the false translations that try to deny the Hebrew Trinity, ha-shalush, ha-kadosh, because here it says, be'aineka. In thy eye, singular, in thy eye. So the question here is, was he speaking to one, right? In thy eye. It's like I'm speaking to one man, one man. Now, here, if I'm speaking to a multitude of men, three men, and I'll say, be'aynekem, 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 to say in you all's eyes, right? In you all's eyes. But here, if I'm speaking to one man or to one, I would say, be'ayneka. So that ka there is the suffix, the possessive suffix for you male, you male. So this is one of these areas right here, here, here that they often cover up because they figure that people are not going to study the Hebrew and find it out for themselves. Surprise. So the same phrase is used to describe Hailahim's view of Noah finding grace, right? Chain, be'aineka, as we have in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. Question 11, a couple more questions right here, 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 brothers and sisters. Here, question 11, to get through some of these 80 questions here for one of the most important, we find that the first, we say, partio, Torah readings and feedings. Here we're at the fourth. Each one of them is a study and a study and a study. Going over some of the basics here, question 11. Why did Abraham say to what some call the angels? You know, it's interesting. They would like to say the angels, even though it says three men. This reminds me of when Jacob wrestled the Malaach Yahuwah, right? The pre-incarnate, right? When he wrestled the angel of Jehovah, right? Notice that when he first encountered it, it was a man. Then it was the angel. But then after the whole incident of Jacob and the, quote, man, angel, he realized that he had met God face to face and his life was preserved. So we have the man, right, the angel, messenger, angel slash, more correctly, messenger, and then we have divine. But why did Abraham say to the Shalosha Nashim, to the three men, whom some like to call angels, even though one of them appears to be Yahuwah. Wash your feet, rest under the tree in Genesis chapter 18, verse 4. Because it was regarded as customary to worship the dust on the feet as a sign of their own effort and energy to do and to acquire good in this world. Once again, bringing out some of the ancient customs, because here he says, wash your feet, rest under the tree. He says, wash your feet and rest under the tree. So it is customary to regard right? It was regarded as a customary thing to, quote, worship the dust on the feet as a sign of their own effort and energy to do and acquire good in this world. So Abraham found this doctrine, this teaching, right, disgusting, and therefore provided water to wash the feet. This is connected to the idea of, quote, resting under the tree, which is to say the Eitz Chayim, resting under the tree of life. Once again, to put due emphasis, notice that this first of the Hebrew epiphanies of he who be who he be, of the invisible becoming visible, is connected with the tree, the idea of the tree. Question 12, why did Abraham offer to bring a, quote, morsel of bread? Why did he offer to bring a, quote, morsel of bread when he actually planned to bring them much, much more, enough more in Genesis chapter 18, verse 5? Why? Quote, the righteous say little and do much, end quote. There's a saying that we have. The righteous say little and do enough. The righteous say little and do much. The Hebrew word for morsel is like pot, right? Pot in the Hebrew is related to the word for suddenly, right? Pitom, like pa'am, pitom, like suddenly, something happens suddenly, right? The word for morsel. This suggests that Abraham would have prepared a great feast if his visitors had not surprised him, right? So we're looking at the custom, even some of the Hebraicism, the custom of the time and the custom of the people. He offered them a morsel of bread, almost like somebody said, let me bring you a little something. And then when you see they prepared a whole big something, you're like, but I thought you said bring a little something. Why? Because the righteous say little and do nuff. The righteous say little and do much. Question 13, what sort of meal did Abraham intend to serve? Question 13, here this points to Genesis chapter 18, the reference text, Genesis chapter 18, verses 6 to 8. What sort of meal? It's my man, Rastafari, the elders, you know, come, let's like, you know, supper, you know, let's sup together. Let's break bread together. What sort of meal did Abraham intend to serve? Well, Abraham, he had hoped to host a major banquet. He asked Sarah, Ishto, Esheto, his Oset, his Isha, to make rolls using 20 quarts of flour. Another thing we have to do, Chabarim, is start to convert the weights and the measures. We got to get into weights and measures. Hopefully in this semester, in this Rastafari Yeshiva, we can get into the weights and measures. Because what Abraham had asked Sarah, Ishto, or Seto to make was rolls using 20 quarts of flour, approximately. And the calf prepared for the meal was far more than the three visitors, or three Shalosha Anashim, three mortal men, would have needed. Question 14, who was the, quote, lad? Remember the lad in the story? He gave it to the lad. Who was the lad that prepared the calf for the meal in Genesis chapter 18, verse 7? Now, although Abraham had, according to the Torah, 318 servants, or as the translator says, trained household servants, Abraham had 318 servants. The Judaic tribe and tradition states that he gave the calf to Ishmael, so that he could have a share, in the good deeds of serving the Shalosha Anashim, of serving the visitors, of serving the guests. Excuse me, right there. A little tickle tickle right there. So that's what the Judaic tribe tradition says, that the lad there was pointing out Yishmael, which it's likely. Likely. So here, question 15. Why did Abraham serve curds, milk, and meat, but no dinner rolls, according to Genesis chapter 18, verse 8? So we check this out right here. We find that Abraham had served curd, you know, curd, when you're allowed to curd, right? Milk and meat, but no dinner rolls. Well, it is said, right? This is some of the reasoning from the ancient, the scholars, and we can reason on some of these reasonings, that Sarah had miraculously received her monthly cycle anew at this time. It is said that one of the reasons why, when we read the narrative, he asked her to do something, but then you see when everything was rolled out, that wasn't rolled out. And you also notice that when she was Sarah listening, not eavesdropping, but Sarah listening behind the tent door, why didn't she come out, right? So from this deduction, it was deduced that Sarah had miraculously, even at her age, she received her monthly cycle anew at this time, right? Pitom, suddenly. And this explains why Abraham was unable to offer them the cakes. The cakes are those dinner rolls, the cakes that he had delivered the flour to her to do, despite Sarah's earlier preparation for them. Abraham here was very careful only to serve food that was ritually pure. Question 16. If Abraham observed all of HaTorah, as Genesis chapter 26, verse 5. Let's go to Genesis chapter 26, verse 5, so ones and ones will know where this particular connection is being made. So let's go to Genesis chapter 20, chapter 26. Right, give me one moment, 26, verse 5. Here, 26, verse 5, and it says, because Abraham hearkened to my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. This is Genesis chapter 26, verse 5. Here, in the Hebrew, it says, Ikev, a consequence, because on the heels of Akav, Ikev, Asher Shama Avraham Bikoli, because of the consequence, on the heels of the fact, it follows, Ikev, it follows, in that sense of because, on the heels of, that Abraham hearkened to my voice. In other words, as a consequence of Abraham hearkening, obeying, being obedient, Ikev Asher Shama, a consequence that he heard, Abraham, that Abraham heard, Bikoli, Koli, by way of Koli, my voice. Vayishmor Mishmarti, or Vayishmor Mishmarti. And he kept, Shamar, to guard, to hedge about, Vayishmor, and he kept, Mishmarti, he kept my charge. The charge here, Masharet, you know, is like the charge, like we say after the order, it's like a commission. And so the charge is, in a sense, is like a commission. He kept, he guarded, right, my charge, my commission. Why Yishmor Mishmarti, Mitzotai, my commandments, Mitzotai. Chukotai, and my hook, my statutes, with Torotai. So the last word that's translated as laws in the Hebrew is v'torotai, with and Torotai, and my Torahs, and my Torahs. What does this mean? The Torah, active word, is direction, instruction, because Abraham He heard, he Shammah was obedient to Jah's voice, and he his commission, his charge, we say like his calling, right? Jah's calling, Jah's commission to him, and Jah's commandments, and it says his statutes and my directions, instructions, or in the Hebrew, vitorotai, right? And my directions, instructions. So the question here, question 16. If Abraham observed, right, all of the Torah, according to Genesis 26 and 5, it doesn't say all, just want to point out, you know, when these questions come through, the discipleship questions is for us to think, to reason, right, you know, to refine the mind, right, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So it doesn't say that he kept all, but he said he kept my, whatever he was directed and instructed to. If Abraham observed all of my direction, instructions, all of the Torah, Genesis 65 and 26, my dyslexia, Genesis 26 and 5, then how could he serve dairy and meat? How many of y'all picked up on that? Dairy and meat together in his banquet for the Shalosh HaNashim, for the epiphany of Yahuwah, right? Some say for the, quote, angels, according to Genesis chapter 18 and 8. Because there is no genuine, listen, wait for it, there's no genuine Torah restriction against eating dairy with meat, right? Not directly. It's inferred by reasonment, and also medically there is some benefits to not eating dairy and meat, but there is not a direct, it's an indirect from reasoning on the Torah, one can make that connection, but there's no genuine Torah restriction. Like, you can't show me a verse, you know, where it says directly, right? There's a reference, right, not to deceive a kid in its mother's milk. And from that reasoning there, right, that's where that restriction as a custom and a practice has come about. And there are benefits health-wise, you know, interesting. You know, we have the fast foods and when we get a Big Mac or something like that and they give you a milkshake, you know the reaction that happens after that. Now, the Torah text here is emphatic and clear. He took halab, milk, and the calf, right, the ben ha-bakar, and he gave it to the Shalosha Anashim, the three men, right, and they willingly ate the food, right, according to the narrative. Next question here. Who told Abraham that he would return the following year when Sarah, right, would have a son, according to Genesis chapter 18, verse 10, right? Genesis chapter 18, verse 10. Yeah. No, make sure we didn't skip over one. Contextually, right, we know that it was Yahuwah. According to the context of the text, it says that the Lord, Yahuwah, right, who said this to Abraham, right, in Genesis 18, 13. Though at this point in the narrative, right, some say, right, all they know is that it may have been one of the angels, because in the narrative it says he said, right? But this is just another roundabout way in latter-day Judaism, you know, with that break after the rabbis came forward, where they kind of reverse engineered some interpretations. Contextually, we know that it was Yahuwah. It was Jehovah who said what he said. Question 18, identify some mysteries surrounding Sarah's laughter over the thought that she would be a mother even at her age, according to Genesis 18, chapter 18, verses 12 to 14. There are some mysteries, some things that are somewhat not superficial. You have to kind of reason on the reasoning, right? Some things that are hidden, right, even in plain sight. When Sarah heard the news that she would be a child within a year, right, she laughed at her inside. She laughed in herself, right? Notice that it says she laughed in herself, right? She laughed in herself. I just want to share that at an early years ago, maybe a couple of decades ago, reason with others, some Christian and woman on this. I had a particular view, but what the part that I did not include fully was that it wasn't an outer laugh. Right? It was, she laughed in herself. And then before that, it was Abraham, upon the name change in the previous Torah reading and feeding, that he laughed outwardly. Right? So she laughed at her inside. She laughed within herself, or in the Hebrew sense, it can be interpreted, laugh at her inside. And regarded Abraham as an old man. She regarded Abraham as an old man. In Genesis 18 and 12, when Yahuwah rebuked her, right, however, he did not repeat her thoughts about Abraham. You note that right there, what we have in the narrative? She laughed at her inside herself, right? And she had a conversation herself, right? And Yahuwah, Jehovah, we could say the one of the three, Yahuwah rebuked, right, rebuked her, right? However, when he did not repeat her thoughts about Abraham. You note that? Instead, he paraphrases her thoughts, right? Will I give birth when I am so old? That's not really what she said exactly, right? In Genesis chapter 18, 13. So it is puzzling, however, that Sarah, who was a great prophetess in her own right, somehow she, at this point, she failed to ma'amin, right, to amen, to credit, right, to trust, to accept as truth, right, to credit the tikwa, the hope, the expectation, the yay, the amen, the promise that Yahuwah, that Jehovah gave to Abraham earlier regarding the promised seed. Remember, this is kind of a repeat. First, it was told to Abraham. Now, it's being told again to Abraham in the presence, in the Sarah dropping, right? You know, she was listening behind the door. So as we reason over this, we say, wait, Abraham no doubt brought that word home, right? So why even here in hearing, right, the visitors say this, this close encounter, she still laughs in herself. Right? Well, we have to compare what she said and what Jehovah said. Let's go right here to the scripts. Let's go right here, brothers and sisters. A little bit more here. I know we got today's daily psalm, you know, Psalm 63, but really need a chance to go into this, because a lot of the questions that we tend to have is because sometimes we hear the story, we animate it in our mind, but we might have missed some key matter of detail that puts it into context. In Genesis chapter 18, here at verse 12, it says, and Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. My Lord being old also. She says, Vadoni, wa Adoni. Now here you can see the difference here. Abraham calls the guest Adonai. Here she calls her husband Adoni. Adoni. She says, Vadoni Zakein. Zakein. Zakein means old, but it means like he's grayed up. You know, he got a lot of gray. You know, he's grayed up. You know, Zakein has a sense of old, elder, but it's connected even with the gray. You know, so after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? I like just to pause on that, because people have this wrong idea about Yahuwah and even this life and liberty, like it's wrong, right? Was it wrong for her to say, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? She was thinking about her pleasure, right? And then she says, my Lord being old also. Well, actually in the Hebrew, it doesn't really say also. It says, and my Lord old, and my Lord is old. So more directly in the Hebrew, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord old, my Lord is old. And then it says, and Yahuwah and Jehovah said to Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child who am old? Is anything too hard for Yahuwah? See, this is where this idea comes out, even in Christian circles. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for Jehovah? But notice the context here. At the set time, I will return to thee. Yahuwah says, at the set time, I will return to thee when the season cometh around, and Sarah shall have a son. Now notice the conversation right here, right, is actually between Jehovah and Abraham concerning Sarah. Right? In a sense, he is not speaking to her directly, because note this in verse 15, then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. Remember, she had laughed within herself. She didn't laugh out loud. Why Yitzhak Sarah bikarbaha, karbaha. Karav is like near, like close, to say almost like the in within herself. But now here, she now speaks from behind the tent door. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. For she was afraid. I'm going to share this right here, put this on the beamer here. It uses the term ki yareah. Now, in modern Hebrew, in some Hebrew circles, this can mean, you know, she was afraid. But also in the Hebrew, this can mean for he saw. For he saw ki yareah, ki yareah. So some people translate this here as saying that for she was afraid. But this is one of those grammatical, interesting anomalies here in the Hebrew, because actually, if we reread it from this perspective, then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for he saw, right? For he who who is now appearing in the house of Abraham. It says, for she was afraid, or ki yareah, for he saw, who, he saw even bikarbah, even in her inside. He saw even what she thought of within, right? And he said, notice what it says, and he said, right, nay, he said, nah, but thou didst laugh. He said, nah, but you did laugh. He says, lo, ki sahakit. But you did laugh speaking to her. Notice right after that, before it can even get into a back and forth, not even saying that Sarah would even taken it there, right? Because she's defending herself, right? He basically now, the only area he spoke directly to Sarah, right, was after she denied that she did laugh. She could have said, I didn't laugh out loud. But this is why it makes more sense, instead of for she was afraid, based on the Hebrew here, ki yareah. Ki yareah, for he saw. He saw in her heart, right? He saw that she did laugh, and that's why after she said out loud, I laugh not. Remember, Jehovah said to Abraham, he was speaking to Abraham, right? He was speaking to Abraham. And then after it says, now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, both of them. It has ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. She was at an age where she didn't get her monthly cycle. And Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? Vadoni as I came, and my Lord is old. Not old also. And my Lord is old. My Lord, old. And when Yahuwah said to Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Now think about Abraham for a moment. And she really laughed in herself behind the tent door. Abraham, looking at the Shalosh Anashim and at Yahuwah that spoke to him, notice he doesn't reply. And a good thing that Yahuwah continues, and he goes on, right? Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety be a child who am old? See, we learn some principles here. Even Jehovah, he talked in a little bit of a circumlocution. He kind of talked in a roundabout way about what she said. He wasn't going to, you know, like somebody hear like a wife say something about the husband or a husband say something about the wife. You know, it's not a major thing. It's almost like what people do, but somebody might go run and literally, you know, reveal if they had heard that. Now, Yahuwah knew exactly what she said. Now, he asked Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Now, she laughed in herself, not outside herself. So, Abraham, you can imagine some perhaps perplexability here. Shall I of a surety be a child who am old? Then is anything too hard for Yahuwah? At the set time, I will return. So, this is still Yahuwah speaking here. At the set time, I will return to thee. When the season come round and Sarah, so he's going to return not to her so much, but something work out something with Abraham. Now, you know, I'm not, I don't want to get into details, but ain't nothing new under the sun. You know, nowadays they say they got pills for that. You know what I mean? Nowadays they got a whole bunch of things for that. Right. You know, but this seems to be the case right here. And then, right, Sarah denied saying, I laugh not. For she was afraid, or kiyareya, for he saw, and he said, nay, nah, nah, lo, 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 but thou didst laugh, lo, kiya, sahakit, you did laugh. Then, next verse, it says, and the men rose up. Notice, does it say angels? Does it say angels right there? And the angels rose up, right? Vayakumu misham hanashim, and the men, and rising up, vayakumu, and rising up, misham, from there, hanashim, the men, the mortal men, the men, they rose up from there. I like the kind of the pace of the narrative there. It's almost like, you know, the Jehovah is speaking to Abraham, Sarah listening. Right, she kind of got caught out there. Jehovah knew what was going on inside her. Bit-ar-baha, right? She tries to deny it. Plus, she knew what she probably was saying inside her heart, but how Yahuwah didn't go into that detail. He just summed it up a different way, right? And then she blurts out, or she speaks audibly, says that I denied not. She denied, saying I laugh not. Right. And then this is the only case of the interaction between Jehovah and her that, but you did laugh. And then right after that, the men are ready to, you know, we don't want to extend this. We want to prolong this, you know, because she used to be a matriarch. No more back and forth now. Next question right here, right. A little bit more right here on this one right here. So it is puzzling, however, that Sarah, a great prophetess, somehow she failed to ma'amin, to amen. And this is what's brought out in the epistle to the Hebrews, where it speaks about Sarah gaining strength to conceive seed. Read over that. I think it's Hebrews chapter, it's the faith chapter, right? The faith role, I think it's chapter 11, if we're correct, in the epistle to the Hebrews. We got 90 seconds, y'all, 90 seconds. Where it says that Sarah, she had gained strength. She gained strength to conceive. Right? Paying attention to the language, paying attention to the context right here. Let's see if we can bring this out right here, brothers and sisters. We got 90 seconds right here. 90 seconds, 90 seconds for those who want to call in or check out the live streaming on Rastafari Israelites. Right here, here, here. Let's take a pause for the cause. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Glory to the Most High Jah, Rastafari, King of Kings, Lords of Lords, Conquering Lion of the Tribe of Judah, Elect of God. Light of the world is His Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie. Protect my son David as he travels this lonely path. Steer my son far from bloody men who surround him with opinions sharp as daggers. Bless him with a vision to distinguish friends from foes. Bless his listeners with overstanding and patience. Remind the critics that all judgment belongs to thee. May the words of thy mouth and the meditation of thy heart be acceptable in thy presence, Selah.
By Munah, Saragam, through faith, also Sara, by Emuna from the Amen, to admit to as truth, to credit, often translated as faith or to believe, to admit as true, to trust, right, to credit. So here it says, by Emuna, and in faith and trust and crediting and getting up her credit rating by Munah Saragam through faith also Sarah, right? He herself Kibla, she Kabbalah, right? Ha Koach, she Kabbalah, she receives Koach, the strength, Le Hazariah, to conceive seed, wa teled achreya ve lota ki hashva le neimana etaha mavatiyah. The fuller verse here in Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 11, through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised, right? She judged him faithful who had promised. So we can even see from studying the narrative that even Sarah, she heard these things, but you know, sometimes in the natural, in the incarnation, making that word flesh, making that word manifest, it's challenging. But even there in Hebrews 11:11, it brings out the sense of that she had to, that she too, through the emunah, through the admittance, admitting as truth, calling those things which be not as though they be. So here this brings out a more of a fuller sense of why it may seem puzzling that Sarah, a great prophetess and matriarch, somehow seemed to have failed at that time to fully ma'amin, to fully admit, to trust, to credit in the yay of he who be who he be given to Abraham earlier regarding the promised seed, even in Genesis chapter 15. Indeed, it was after Hilahim gave him this promise that her name from Sarai to Sarah was changed, right? Sarah's laugh became the basis, many ones say, for Yitzhak, to laugh, Yitzhak's name as well. Here, question 19, just a couple more questions going to ride up. So Psalm 63, very, very important and interesting here in the season, in the context of these sayings. But here for our Torah study, seeing that we're at the fifth, we're actually going into the evening of the sixth, actually, you know, from the right order of time telling. Question 19, how do we know that Yahuwah, right, or that the angel, the messenger, right, the Malach, who said he would return the following year, was none other than Yahuwah, Jehovah himself. How do we know that the man, the angel, who said he would return the following year, was none other than Yahuwah himself, according to Genesis chapter 18, verses 10 to 14. While the text at first does not identify the subject in Genesis chapter 18, verse 10, right, in that sense, even though it's flowing in the narrative where it says, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, Ishteka, Isha, Eshet, shall have a son. Though in Genesis chapter 18, verses 13 to 14, Yahweh, Jehovah, is identified as the subject, where it says, Wayomer Yahweh, and he who be, who he be, said, at the appointed time, the set time, I will return to you about this time next year, the next Shana, Sarah shall have a son. Question 20. When was Abraham circumcised, and why does that matter? Yitzhak, Isaac. Isaac was born after Abraham was circumcised. Check. A year, a shana, from the time that the Shalosha Anashim, that the three men, right, visited him, if Yitzhak was born on the first day of Pesach, of Passover. Remember the ancient teachings and the Talmud, Rosh Hashanah teachings bring that connection out from the text. Then, if we take this, therefore, Abraham would have been circumcised at this time as well. So one's point to the birth of Yitzhak in connection with the Pesach, the Pesach. Question 21, how do we know, or how do we explain, rather, Sarah's denial? How would you explain Sarah's denial that she laughed in Genesis chapter 18, verse 15? Well, Sarah's denial was not directed, some say, to Ha'elohim. Some interpret that Sarah's denial wasn't directed to Ha'elohim, Elohim, but her denial was directed to Abraham, who reported to her Ha'elohim's word. She thought Abraham was asking her why she laughed, which she denied. Now, the statement, quote, no, you did laugh, some say, was spoken by Abraham. She was punished, however, because she would later not see her son married in her lifetime. So some bring out this reasonment, this particular interesting reasonment right here, here, here. Think His Majesty, when His Majesty likened to Tege Menin, to Sarah, is interesting because he says the fate of Adam, you know, something about the fate of Adam. But this is one of the reasonments of explaining Sarah's denial that she laughed of who it was directed to. Because in reading over the narrative, it clearly identifies the speaker. But then there are some verses that ones might want to reason and say, well, maybe that's not Jehovah speaking right there. This could be Abraham. But either way, they say that one of the possible punishments because of this denial was that she would later not see her son married within her lifetime. And it seems as though when we go to the next Torah reading and feeding, it was right after the Mount Moriah, the Akedah incident, that we go to the next chapter and it says that she passed away. We liken this in a sense of after the coup, right, with Asalosin, in that comparison of Sarah Etege Menin and Abraham Kedemawi Hala Selassie. But we, as Rastafari, that seed, Yitzhak. Question 22. When the Anashim, Hanashim, when the men that people call angels got up to go, Abraham went with them to send them on their way in Genesis chapter 18, verse 16. What does that teach us about hospitality? This could be one of the connections here that what we have in the Brit Chadash about entertaining, you know, strangers or guests, you know. It is important to see a guest off when he or she leaves. Abraham did so even though he was said to be still recovering from his recent circumcision. Hanashim, the men, did not deny him the opportunity to do this mitzvah. This mitzvah, some would say a good deed or a commandment. right? So when they say doing a mitzvah, mitzvah literally is a commandment taken to be a good deed. Question 23, why and to whom did Yahweh ask whether he should reveal to Abraham his plans to judge Sodom and Amorah and the volcano, Gomorrah, in Genesis chapter 18, verses 17 to 21? Why and to whom did Yahuwah ask whether he should reveal to Abraham his plans? Now, some say apparently this was a rhetorical question that was addressed by Yahuwah, by Jehovah, to the other two that are referred to in some translations as angels, right? Was Abraham to be entrusted with the oracles, the Dibrei Elohim, the words, the oracles of Ha'elohim, since Ha'elohim foresaw that Abraham would be faithful to instruct his children to keep Ha'elohim's way, to keep Yahweh, and the people of Jah people, the Hebrews and later the Israelites, would become a great and mighty nation that would bless other nations in the earth, he chose to reveal his plans to him. Ha'elohim also knew that Abraham's concern for his nephew, knew of the concern for his nephew Lot, or Lot, but of course. Question 24, what is the, quote, Derek Yahuwah. What is the Derek Yahuwah? Right? Derek Yahuwah. What is the Derek of Jehovah, called the way of Jehovah, that Abraham would guard? We have this written in Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, that Abraham would guard the Derek Yahuwah, would guard the way, the Derek, the way of Jehovah. So what is this way of Jehovah? The way of Jehovah is to, quote, do righteousness and justice. La esot tzedakah u mishpat. In the Hebrew, la esot, to do, la esot tzedakah, to do righteousness, to do charity or tzedakah, righteous giving. La esot, la esot tzedakah u mishpat, and mishpat, and judgment, to do righteousness and judgment, or here translated as justice, but mishpat is judgment. Question 25, what was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah? What was the sin of Sodom? Now, according to the sages, the people of Sodom were so obsessed with materialism and self-gratification that the very idea of hospitality and tzedakah and righteousness, righteous giving, charity, was an alien thing. It was out of their world. So much so that it was regarded as a capital crime against the state to help the poor and the stranger. Sounds like this is where so-called the Babylon, the Sichlorim is going. Right? Sounds like nowadays Sodom was a wealthy city that was filled with crime, corruption, and institutionalized greed. The laws, so to speak, of Sodom were biased in favor of the rich, and outright murder was routinely practiced. Elohim had gave them 25 years to repent, but Sodom grew more and more proud and hardened and encouraged in its perversity, in its moral perversity. In light of the straightforward narrative that's given in Bereshit, in Genesis chapter 19, verses 1 to 17, however, we should add that the people of Sodom were also sexual deviants, right, who attempted to literally gang rape two men, right, messengers called the two angels, as well as Lot himself, which reveals further just how depraved, how morally deprived they were. They, quote, indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire. This is referring to the wanton promiscuity that blindly crossed gender lines. How do we know this? Well, Jude chapter 1, verse 7, well, only one chapter of Jude, but Jude verse 7, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 to 10. Now, add eros, sexual, we could say sexuality in the extreme sense, eros to eros. Eros in the Greek means sexual love, right? Eros means violence, thus the connection of sex and violence, right? So add sexual violence, exploitation, and wholesale pornification, right, of a cult, of a culture to the list of Sodom's evil ways that resulted in a catastrophic, right, catastrophic judgment by fire. And if we go further, even into the words of the prophets, it brings this out, you know, concerning the sin of Sodom, bringing out the sense that we have brought out here a wealthy city filled with crime, corruption, institutionalized greed, where such things as hospitality and charity, righteous giving, were seen as an alien, out of their world sort of a thing. And when it was regarded as, you know, doing, you know, for ones who were not able, you know, for poor people, it was a capital crime to help the poor or to help the stranger, you know. So here, a couple more questions here before we go forward right here. Let's see if we can get to at least maybe 30 or so of them. Here we're at question number 26. What was Abraham's response to Hilehim's plan to judge Sodom in Genesis chapter 18, verses 22 to 33? Now, Abraham, he continued to stand before Jehovah, as the text says, Avram, right? Odein, Omed Lifne Yahuwah. Abraham Odeinu Omed Lifne Yahuwah. The sense is he continued, right? Odeinu Omed. He continued to Amad, to stand, Lifne, in the face, in the presence, the perception of Yahweh, of Yahuwah. And he questioned him, quote, will you actually wipe out the righteous along with the defiant, the wicked, the ratchet? How could Hilehim justify the destruction of an entire city for the sins or the uckeries, the moral perversities of a few? It would be sacrilege to say that the judge of all the earth was not righteous in his judgment. Now, note that the Judaic tradition, the tradition, it states that there are always, according to the later day Jewish interpretation in these things, that there was always 36 hidden righteous people. This is often referred to as the Lamed Vavniks. The Lamed Vavniks. Going to touch on that. Lamed Vavniks, who keep the world itself from being destroyed by fire. Question 27. Did Abraham's intercession for Sodom, right, go far enough? Now, most people say Sodom and Gomorrah. We got to learn that Gomorrah, Amora, even in the Ethiopic, refers to an ancient word for volcano, which brings out the narrative even more clearly. And throughout the narrative, it points to Sodom and the epicenter. It includes Gomorrah, Amora, because that was the volcano, right? That's why when you look at the narrative, it's like fire. It seemed like fire was coming from a multitude of directions. You know what I mean? The lava, the fire. But did Abraham's intercession for Sodom go far enough? Now, what if there were but one or two individuals who were righteous in the city? Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. You've heard that. Robeinu Yeshua, the rabbi of rabbis, has spoke that. Now, some argue that Abraham should have made the case that if even there was only a single solitary individual, indivisible duo who was righteous, Hailahim should withhold his judgment to destroy the entire city. This is a reasonment that some bring out right there, there, there. But when you look at the narrative, the pace of the narrative shows that when Abraham got down to the minyan, the 10 number, right, this is where Yahuwah stopped him. So even if one say he should have gone further with it, it is interesting when he got down to 10, when we read the narrative, it's almost like when Josh says right here, let's just see if we can bring this out right here. I'm going to open this up again. Just at the end of chapter 18. So that's an interesting question right there, which I would like to reason with some of the brothers and sisters. What do you think? Should he, even if the whole city, you know, the whole city is corrupt, but you got one so-called righteous person doing what? Doing what? This righteous person is blind, deaf, dumb. They don't know that they need to come out of her, my people. But here it says right here at the end of the chapter, and it says right here, he says in verse 31, and he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak to Yahuwah, to Jehovah, peradventure, or perhaps there shall be 20 found there. And he said, Yahuwah said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20's sake. And he said, Abraham, oh, let not Yahuwah be angry, and I will speak yet this once more. Now, know that Abraham did this a couple of times, right? He says, peradventure, perhaps, right? 10 shall be found there. And he said, and Yahuwah said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. Now, know that we get to verse 33. Genesis chapter 19, verse 33, it says, and Yahuwah went his way, right? Vayelech Yahuwah, and Jehovah tried it. He went his way as soon as he had left off speaking to Abraham. So basically this brings out that while Abraham is going down and down and down in different numbers, down from 30 to, you know, 20, and then go down to 10, before he could go down to 5 or 1 or 2, it says, Vayelech Yahuwah, right? Ka'asher kilah lidabir il Abraham. And Jehovah went his way. He tried it. Wayelek, he halakad, he tried it. He who be, we be. Ka'asha, right? He tried it, like to say, as soon, like kila, fulfilled, lidabir, speaking, il Avraham. As soon as he left off speaking, right? So basically, once Abraham asked about 10, right, the question about what about 10? And after John said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake, end of the conversation. The conversation ended there, and it seals up, says, Avram, right, Shav, and Abraham Shav, Lim Komo, and he returned to his Makom. He returned to his spot. He returned to his place. So Abraham's satisfaction, right, with 10 righteous is what led in the Judaic and Hebraic tribe, right, to adopt the idea of the minyan, what we call the minyan, 10 Torah observant mandem, the minyan, right, for prayer. So it's from this encounter with Jehovah and Abraham that the Judaic tribe says that even though the temple in Jerusalem is destroyed, whenever we have 10, you could say Torah observant, you could say mind them, we can come together and we can worship, and it'll be counted as the holy temple worship. So that minyan idea, the 10, is connected right here with Abraham. So as another connective point here before we seal up right here for now, right, what is a Lamed Vavnik? Now, in Judaic and Jewish, later-day Jewish mystical tradition, there's what is known as the Lamed Vav Tzadikim. Lamed Vav Tzadikim. This is shortened as Lamed Vavnik, right? The Lamed Vavniks, or the 36 hidden righteous one. Lamed Vav, and Tzadik E, who keep the world from being destroyed. This idea comes from Abraham's intercession, right, for the Sodom, when he appealed to Hailahim not to sweep away the Tzadikim, the righteous with the Rishaim, with the defiant ones, with the ratchet in judgment. Abraham argued that if only 10 righteous were found in a ratchet, a wicked city, Hailahim, the almighty power, should preserve the city for the sake of the tent, for the sake of the minyan, the minyan. Question 29. Why did the two of the three, right, messengers come to Sodom, to Sodom, in the evening, in Genesis chapter 19 at verse 1? Now, here in the KJV Bibles, they are referred to in the translation as angels. Like I said, the more better translation is messengers, right? Because there's a lot of foolishness that has wedded itself in counterfeit religionism of angels that really don't have any place in the Torah narrative. But the two messengers called angels in Judaic tradition are considered, we do not consider this to be an accurate consideration, but they're considered to be Michael, right, Mikael, who was sent to save Lot or Lot, and Gavriel or Gabriel, who was sent to destroy the cities. In the sense of the Hebrew Trinity, we see this as the pre-incarnate Son and Holy Spirit, because, you know, fire does need spirit. When Gabriel, according to other traditions, saw Abraham praying for the sea, however, it is said that he waited, which implies that Abraham spent all day in tefillah in prayer. Question 30. Why was Lot sitting at the gate of Sodom? Why in Genesis chapter 19, verse 1, it says that Lot, or Lot, he was sitting at the gate of Sodom? Well, Lot had become a judge, it is said, or a city official by this time. He got to, he moved into the city, and, you know, he moved up in the city. He was a judge, a city official. They knew him. Psalm 1, remember the first psalm that warns, Ashrei Ha'ish, blessed is the man, or happy is the man, who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, of the ratchet, nor stand in the way of uckers, of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers, the mockers. First, Lot, he walked toward Sodom. Right? He went toward Sodom. If you notice, when they separated, Abraham and Lot, he went near by the city, right? The direction of it, right? Sodom, by selfishly desiring worldly gain. Yes, Lot is considered to be a righteous man. It's like right now, if I ask you, are you a convicted criminal? You might say no, because not because you haven't committed no crime, you just haven't been convicted. He was a passive righteous man. His righteousness was totally because he had faith in the righteous man, Abraham. But first, Lot walked towards Sodom by selfishly desiring the worldly gain. Then he stood in the way of the sinners, moving his tent closer and closer to the city. Finally, he sat in the seat of the scorners, and his mind became debased. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34 brings this out. Toward the scorners, he is scornful, but to the humble, he gives favor. Toward the scorners, he is scornful, but to the humble, he gives favor. Question 31, a little bit more on Lot right here, because he was a lot of trouble, right? Why did Lot solicit the visitors to come under his protection? In Genesis chapter 19, verses 1 to 3. Well, Lot, he knew the corruption and violence of the city. I mean, he lived there, right? That's why I remember when the messengers come, he says, come into my house. And they said, no, we're going to spend the night in the streets. They wanted to see what the street life was really like. They wanted to get the really real of it. But Lot, he knew the corruption and the violence of the city, and he earnestly even zealously sought to protect them from harm. Lot thought that, you know, because his position in the city, you know what I mean, he really had some standing, right? But the narrative shows as we go on that he really didn't have the standing, you know, they dissed him later on. Therefore, he pressed them. In the scripture says he pressed them. He pressed them to come with him. Now, the same verb, press them, right, is used to describe the violence of the Sodomites, right, in Genesis chapter 19, verse 9. Because of this, Lot is regarded as a righteous man, according to 2 Peter, right, chapter 2, verse 7. Moreover, Lot, he learned the art of hospitality and the importance of social justice, a little bit of social justice. You know, he was like a little mini activist. The real activist, right, in Jah's right way was Abraham. He picked up a little bit of something and ran off and tried to do it in Sodom, and it really didn't work out for him. But he did learn some good things, the art of hospitality and the importance of social justice from Uncle Abraham, from Uncle Abraham. Question 32. What did Lot do after the visitors finally agreed, right, after he kept pressing them, agreed to come with him in Genesis chapter 19, verse 3? Well, he made a feast, and he baked them matzah. He baked them matzah. Literally, he baked them matzah. When you're reading the Hebrew, he baked them matzah. During the feast, the messengers, the Malachim, they discussed their mission. Now, note that Lot apparently did not know he was entertaining my divinity, right? He didn't know he was entertaining divinity, perhaps even two persons, right, of the Holy Trinity. But he assumed that they were prophets. He knew something about them was special and that they was announcing Hylahim's word. He picked up on that much. Question 33. What does Judaic tradition say about Lot's Isha, about Lot's Orset? Well, Lot's wife, some name her as Erit, right? Yerit, Erit, did not want to give the messengers, the Malachim, a room in the main house, it is said, and was such a miser. Right. Some say she got right in there, you know, into the life in the city, the big city life. Lot still was somewhat uncomfortable with that little bit of righteousness in him. But his wife did not want to give the messengers a room in the main house and was such a miser that she did not want to let Lot use any salt for his feast, it is said. Right. She finally demanded that the visitors sleep in an adjoining shed. Right. That explains, some say, why Lot later said that the men came, quote, under the shadow of my rafters for protection, because the word used here would be used more not for a house, but like a shed in Genesis chapter 19, verse 8. Question 34. What did the inhabitants of Sodom do when they discovered that Lot had surreptitiously invited the two guests into his home in Genesis chapter 19, verse 4 and 5, right? Well, they surrounded the house, the bayit, right? Lot's bayit. And they demanded that Lot, quote, bring them out to us so that we may know them, end quote. Now, note that the language indicates sexual intercourse when we match it with Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, here, the Sodomites were demanding that these strangers, these two men, be handed over, many say, for homosexual relations of some kind or another. That this is the correct meaning is clear from Lot's warning that they, quote, do not so wickedly, not to do so ratchetly, so defiantly. The word wickedly here from the Hebrew also can mean in more practical senses, out of religious connotation, defiant, where somebody's defiant. You know what you're doing is wrong, but you're just defiant. That's wicked. That's ratchet. And he offered to give them his daughters instead. Now, note that later his daughters, in a sense, quote, returned the favor, end quote, in some strange kind of a way to their father. Now, note this as well, too, that the daughters were married to the two sons-in-law when Lot's two sons-in-law, that we got to get out of here, they mocked. So this is kind of interesting because when Lot offers his two daughters, he says that these two daughters, do with them what you want because they haven't known man. But then a couple of verses later on, we find that he has two sons-in-laws that the scripture tells us were married. So we ask, were the daughters of Lot, were they beards? Were they beards for Lot's sons-in-law? Question 35. What is, quote, sodomy? Sodomy has been defined as unnatural sexual relations, especially sexual intercourse between men and men or between a man and an animal. This behavior is condemned in the scripture as an abomination, and here often is linked Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. Question 36. Why did Lot call the Sodomites or Sodomite activists? Why did he call the Sodomites, quote, my brothers? You know that? In Genesis chapter 19, verses 7 to 9, he calls the Sodomites my brothers. And he goes on to offer his two daughters. Now, we really can't say what their status is, but he says they have not known men. So let's just call them two virgin daughters. But then they married these two sons-in-laws that mocked when Lot told them about the danger they were in. But why did Lot call the Sodomites my brothers and offer his two virgin daughters to be abused in place of his two visitors in Genesis chapter 19, verses 7 to 9. Now, what this reveals is how far Lot had sunk in the sunken place. Because of his association with the Sodomites, he was even referring to the Sodomites as brother. Watch my brothers, who you call brother, right? He was calling the Sodomites brothers. This is why when we talk about Lot being a righteous man, people don't understand what the Hebrew means by righteous, right? Righteous. In fact, do we have it right here? It is in, I think it's in Peter, where it talks about how the righteous, if the righteous are scarcely saved, right? Righteous basically means that you have not been convicted of a crime. Right, in that sense. And we can see in some of Lot's actions a trace of righteousness that no doubt he had still engaged in, like hospitality that he had, so forth and so on. You know, so it's a contextual point, right? Not an absolute point, right? Because when the foundation are being destroyed, the psalm that says, what do the righteous do? They're ones that are not so-called actively wicked people, but they don't do actively righteousness. Abraham is an active righteous man, and Lot is a passive righteous man. Be careful of passive righteousness. You'll get into a lot of Lot-like situations. So this reveals how far Lot had sunk, right, because of his association or misassociation with the Sodomites, activists. For Lot, adultery and prostituting his own daughters was not as serious, right, an offense as failing to protect the strangers. So it's almost like a pick and choose, you know, like a pick and choose sort of a righteousness, so to speak. Question 37. Why was it midah keneged midah? What is midah keneged midah? In the Hebrew, midah keneged midah, justice, is like for like, right? Like for like. And midah keneged midah, like in front of, opposed to like for like. That the men of Sodom were struck with blindness when they tried to break down the door of the house. And the Hebrew really brings out when they tried to find the opening of the door. They were trying to find the opening of the door, the patach of the dalet. It was mida keneged mida, like for like, because they were already blind by their own lusts, their unnatural desires to the reality and the danger that really confronted them. All they could see was their evil desire, the yetzerah. And this became the darkness, right, of a burial shroud, even with the lava, hot to fire, when Gomorrah, the volcano, erupted. Question 38, how many daughters did Lot have? Genesis chapter 19, verses 12 to 13. Now, some say either two or four. Some say he either had two or four. Now, if Lot's sons-in-law refer to the men who were, some say, betrothed, but the scripture says married to his daughters that did not know man, that we can assume were virgin daughters, it might have been two. Although in some of the Jewish and Judaic tradition, they state that there were four daughters. In other words, two were married and two were betrothed. But what we read of in the scripture is these same two. Question 39, we're going to take it to the 40. Question 39, why did Lot's sons-in-law think that Lot was joking? He seemed as one that mocked. Why did they think he was joking when he warned them of the impending disaster and danger that was to come on Sodom in Genesis 19:14? Either because Lot, the nephew of Abraham, had lost all credibility in Sodom. Are you picking up on that? That Lot, the nephew of the righteous man, right, Abraham, he had lost all credibility. He was incredible, not credible, not amenable, not aman. You couldn't credit. He had no credibility in Sodom. And because they were fatalists, like nowadays, there's fatalists. You know, they're doing things, running for death, but death seems to be running from them. They were fatalists, but not this time for the sons-in-law. They were fatalists who thought it was impossible, right, to run away from Jah's judgment, perhaps. And therefore, some say they mocked the idea of, quote, fleeing from the wrath to come. Question 39, right? That's question 39. Question 40 here. Why did Lot hesitate when the day of judgment dawned? You get that? How he hesitated? All right. He hesitated when the day of judgment dawned. We have this in Genesis chapter 19, verses 15 to 16. Well, first, Lot, he might have been worried about his two married daughters who were, some say, not with him. Some say, right, if we say there were four. And he thought further about how to save them. And secondarily, he might have been overly concerned with his material possessions, thinking about, man, I'm going to leave all this behind. You know how long it took me, some 20-something years, right? Not knowing what to take and what to leave behind. In a sense, he didn't have, what they call it nowadays, he didn't have like a go bag. He didn't have a go bag and everything. So he was trying to decide what to take or what to leave. But here, Chavarim, went through about 40 of the 80 questions right here. So hopefully we can, you know, have enough time to go through the fulfillment of them. I did say we had the psalm right here, just to fulfill all righteousness. Let's give a first hear right here to Psalm 63, according to the royal order.
Psalm 63.
Mizmor Samech Gimal, Mizmor le David biyoto b'midbar Yehuda.
O God, thou art my God.
Elohim Eli Atta, 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 Atta.
Early will I seek thee.
My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. He stopped. He stopped. He stopped. He stopped. He stopped.
Here, due to the time that we have right here, we got the 3-in-1 right here, Royal Amharic, the Hebrew, and of course the English right here on the Jah, see them come right here. Here we have the Bunu Shabbos mix right here, Dub Wise, 3-in-1, today's little song.
مزمور 62 بقنف 63 بإدومياس مدربدا بنبره غزي يا داويت مزمور املاكي املاكي ودان تغسغسال نفسي انتن تطمج شغايي انتن انديت نافقت انقتنا وها بليلبس بمدربدا عيلهننا كبرهن عايزن انديو بمقدس وستملكت ምህረትህ ከሕይወት ይሻላልና ከንፈሮቼ አመሰግንሃለሁ። እንዲህ በሕይወቴ ዘመን አመሰግንሃለሁ፣ በአንተም ስም እጆቼን አነሳለሁ። ነፍሴ በቅቤና በስብ እንደሚጠግቡ ትጠግባለች፣ ከንፈሮቼም ስምህን በደስታ ያመሰግናሉ። በመኝታዬም አስብሃለሁ፣ በማለዳም እናገርልሃለሁ። ረዳት ይሆንህኛልና በክንፎችም ጥላ ደስ ይለኛልና። ነፍሴ በኋላህ ተከታተለች፣ እኔንም ቀኝህ ተቀበለች። እነርሱ ግን ነፍሴን ለከንቱ ፈለጓል፣ ወደ ምድር ጥልቅ ይገባሉ። ለሰይፍ እጅ አልፈው ይሰጣሉ፣ የቀበሮም እድል ፈንታ ይሆናል። ንጉሥ ግን በእግዚአብሔር ደስ ይለዋል፣ በእርሱ የሚምን ሁሉ ይከብራል። ሐሰትን የሚናገር አፍ ይዘጋልን።
Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wing will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. He stopped. He stopped. He stopped. He stopped.
מזמור סמך גימל, מזמור לדוד בהיותו במדבר יהודה. אלוהים אלי אתה אשחרך, שמאה לך נפשי, כמח לך ושרי, בארץ שיה ועייף בלי מים. כן בקודש חזיתיך, לראות עוזך וכבודך, כי טוב חסדך מחיים, שפתי ישבחונך. כן אברכך וחיי, ושמך אשא כפי. כמו חלב ודשן תשבע נפשי, ושפתי רננות יהלל פי. אם זכרתיך על יצועי, באשמורות אהגה בך, כי היית עזרת לי, ובצל כנפיך ארנן. דבקה נפשי אחריך, בי תמך ימיניך, והמה לשואה יבקשו נפשי, יבואו בתחתיות הארץ, יגבירוהו על ידי חרב, מנת שועלים יהיו, והמלך ישמח באלוהים, יתהלל כל הנשבע בו, כי יסחר פי דוברי שקר.
Mizmor Samech Gimel Samech Gamel Psalm 63 מזמור לדאוויד, בי יוטו, מזמור סמך גימל סמך גמל, סום 63, מזמור לדאוויד, בי יוטו, במדבר יהודה. אלוהים, אלי אתה, אשחרך, שמאה לך נפשי, כמח לך. ושרי בארץ עצייה ועייפה בלי מים. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, thou art my God. Earnestly will I seek thee. Earnestly will I seek thee. I. מזמור לדאוויד. ביהיותו במדבר יהודה. אלוהים, אלי, אתה, אשחרך. Psalm of David, מזמור לדאוויד. Chant Isis of the Well-Beloved, a Psalm of David, מזמור לדאוויד. When he was, ביהיותו, when he במדבר יהודה. When he was in the wilderness, the midbar of Yehuda. Elohim, Eli, Ata, Elohim, Eli, Ata, O Elohim, thou art the I, male art, Eli, Eli, my El, true good, true God, Ishachreka, earnestly will I seek the I, Ishachreka. Elsewhere, this is what scripture says, even in Yeshayahu, Esaias, Isaiah 26 and 16, where it reads, Lord, in trouble have they sought thee. Silently they poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Yahuwah batzara p'aduka s'akuna l'chasha mu'sarka lamo. Jehovah, he who be, who ye be, Yahuwah batzara p'aduka. In trouble batzar in trouble. Have they sought the eye? Pekaduka. Sakuna lachash musarka lamo. Silently, they poured out a prayer when thy chastening was up on them, when thy discipline was upon them. They poured forth a whisper. They poured forth a whisper. Sakuna lachash musarka lamo, lamo, lamo. When do the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of children of Israel, seek HaKadosh Baruch Hu? When do the Israelites seek the Holy One, the Sanctified One, the Set Apart One, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Blessed be He in the time of their distress. For it is said, even in Psalm 18, Hebraically, the seventh verse, that reads, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, my God, my God. Batarli ekra Yahuwah v'hilla Elohaya Ishawiah. In my distress, batarli, in distress, anxiety for me, batarli ekra Yahuwah. I call by name, he who be, we be, ekra Yahuwah, ekra Yahuwah. And cried and shouted to the Elohai, highly I, with Illa Elohai, Ishawiah, and I shout and I cried, I shouted out to Elohai, to highly I, but Ali, Ekrayo, with Illa Elohai, Ishawiah, Ishawiah, Ishawiah. Thus, like this, David also, whenever he found himself in distress and in straits, difficulties and anxiety, sought HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sought the Holy One, blessed be He. As is said even in Psalm 3, first verse Hebraically, where it reads, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Mizmor leDavid, bivarcho mipnei Avshalom bino, a psalm, Isis, a chant, intonation, a psalm of David, Mizmor leDavid, when he fled, bibarcho, from Absalom, mipnei Absalom, from the face of Absalom, mipnei Absalom bino, Mizmor leDavid, bibarcho, mipnei Absalom bino, bino, son, bino, son, bino, son, bino. And again, and again, and again, when the Ziphites, came and said to Shaul, said to Saul, doth not David hide himself with us? In Psalm 54, verse 2. Bivoa ha zufim, vayomrua li Shaul, hallo David, mistater imanu. When the Ziphites came, bivoa ha zufim, and they said to Saul, vayomru li Shaul, doth not David hide himself with us? Hello, David, mistatir imanu. Is not David a mystery with us? Hello, David, mistatir imanu. And again, when he fled from Saul in the cave, even in Psalm 57, the first verse Hebraically, bivarcho amipnei Shaul ba mi'ara. When he fled, bibarcho, from Saul, from the face of Saul, mipnei Shaul, from the person, the presence, the perception of Saul, mipnei Shaul, in the cave, ba mi'ara, bibarcho, mipnei Shaul, ba mi'ara. So here also a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah, mizmor le David, biyahiyoto, bimidbar Yehuda. The verse does not say a psalm of David when he was king, but when he was in the wilderness of Judah, b'midbar Yehuda. Thus again, David said, even in Psalm 118, Hebraically the fifth verse, I called up on the Lord in distress. I called upon the Lord in distress. Mina hamitzar karati yah. Out of my straits, my anxieties, my difficulties, mean hamitzar, I called upon Yah, I called upon Jah, karati Yah, mean hamitzar, karati Yah, I called upon Jah in my distress. And also, even in Psalm 54, he breaks the fourth verse that reads, what time that I am afraid, I will trust in thee, I will trust in thee, I, male. Yom Iyahani Eleka Evadach in the day that I am afraid, Yom Yirah Ani Eleka Ebedach, I will put my trust, my confidence, my surety, Eleka Ebedach, in the eye. I will put my trust, my confidence, my confidence, my confidence in the eye. Yom Yirah Ani Eleka Ebedach. And again, even in Psalm 119, Hebraic, the 71st verse, it is good for me that I have been afflicted in order that I might learn thy statutes. It is good for I that I have been afflicted in order that I might learn thy statutes. Tov li yaki ya'onet lima'ana ehlimad chukecha. It is good for me, tov li, it's good for I, that I have been afflicted, ki oneti, when I'm afflicted, ki oneti, tobli, ki oneti, in order that, lima'an, I might learn, elimad, thy statutes, chukeka, tobli, ki oneti, lima'ana, elimad, chukeka. Therefore, Al Cain. Hence, it is said a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, Elohim, thou art my God. Eli Ata, earnestly will I seek thee. Mizmor le David, bi yahyoto, bi midbar Yehuda. Elohim, Eli Ata, e shachreka. O God, thou art my God. Earnestly will I seek thee, I, Elohim. Eli ata it shachreka. Here. Psalm 63, Mizmor Samech Gimel Samech Gamel, Hebraically the second verse. Elsewhere, this is what Scripture says, even in Proverbs, even in the Mishle Shlomo. It says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me earnestly shall find me. Slika, slika, slika. There is a scribal error, mistype. That's Mishle Shlomo, Proverbs of Solomon, the Mashal, Chapter 8, verse 17. I love them that love me. I love them that love I, and those that seek I shall earnestly find I. Those who seek me earnestly shall find me. Ani ohe vehai hava umashachraya yimasauni. I love them that love me. Ani ohe beha ehaba. And those that seek me earnestly, uamir shachrai, shall find me, shall find I. Yimatsauni. Ani ohe behai haba umashachraya yimatsauni. HaTorah, the Torah says, I love them that love me. I love them that love I. Ani ohe beha ehab. Who loves me, I love him. Ani ohe beha ehab. Another targum, another interpretation. Who loves me, I love him. Dawid, David. Because he loved me, I loved him. And because he sought me earnestly, I sought him earnestly and was found by him. Hence, even here in today's Psalm, Mizmor Samech Gimel Samech Damel, Psalm 63, it reads, O God, thou art my God. Earnestly will I seek thee, Elohim. Eli Ata It Shachreka. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. Here, Hebraically, the bait, the gimel, the bait verse, here, the bait, the second verse, second part of it. First part, O God, thou art my God, earnestly will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, for the eye. My flesh longeth for the eye, male, in a dry and weary land where no water is. Elohim, Eli, Ata, it shachreka, sama'a leka, nafshi, kamaha, leka, vitsari, vi eretza, tziyah, vi ayefa, bli, mayi, 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 mayi. The thirsty land, the thirsty land, the thirsty land where no water, where no water is. The thirsty land where no water is Edom. Is Edom. Be Eretz Yah. Ze Ayif. Bili Mayi. Where no water is. Bili Mayi.
Bili Mayi. Bili Mayi.
This is Edom. This is Edom. Rav Yehoshua ben Lewi, Joshua ben Levi taught that when Moses said, "The Lord, the God, who led me through the great and dreadful wilderness, wherein were serpents, fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty land where no water is," even in Devarim, in Deuteronomy 8 and 15. Yahuwah Eloheka, Hamolikka, Bamidbar Hagadol, Vihanora Nahash, Saraf, Vihakrav, Vitsimaon, Vitsimaon Asherena Mayim, He who be, we be thy Elohim, who lead thee through the great and dreadful wilderness. Ha mo likka ba midbara ha gadola wi hanora, wherein were serpents,
nahash,
fiery serpents, saraf, and scorpions, wi akrab, and thirsty ground, wi simaon, wi simaon, where was no water. With Simaon Asher Ain
Mayin,
by serpents, Nahash. He meant Babylon, Vavel, Babel, Babylon. By fiery serpents, Saraf, Medea. By scorpions, Akrab. By scorpions, Greece, the Gracchoi. And by a thirsty land where no water is, with Simaona Sharena Mayim, Edom. There is a charm against the serpent, against Ha-Nachash. There is a charm, a talisman against the fiery serpent, Ha-Saraf. There is a charm, a talisman against the scorpion, Ha-Akrab. But there is no telsem, no charm, no talisman against Simaon Asher Ein Mayi, a thirsty land, a thirsty ground where no water is. Asher Ein Mayi, where there is no water. So too, there is no charm, no telsem, no talisman against this wicked, against this ratchet kingdom. Hence, a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Be'eretz Siyah, we'ayef, b'li mayi. Be'eretz Siyah, we'ayef, b'li mayi. A dry and thirsty land where no water is a land where our souls, our psyches thirst for words of Torah, for words of Jah's directions, his instructions, but where it is not permitted I and I to drink. And here, Midrash notes on Mizmor Samech Gamel, Psalm 63. So reads the printed edition, but where it is not permitted us, I and I, to drink. The ET, the edited text, reads, "We do not find it." Where we do not find it. And here, as it said in Isaiah 41 and 17, it reads, "When the poor needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them." Ha enyima ve ha evolyonima, me vakshim mayima vain, lishonama bats ama na shata, ani Yehovah e'enim. Elohei Yisrael, loa e'ezreim, the poor and needy, ha enyim, with ha evyonim, seek water, mi bakshim mayim, and there is none, wa ayin, and their tongue faileth for thirst. Lishonama batama nashatah. I, he be ani Yahuwah, will answer them. A name. I, the God of Israel, Elohei Yisrael, will not forsake them. Lo e'ezabim. Ha en yima we ha ever yonima me bakashima mayima wahain lishonama bats ama nashataha hani yohua e name Elohe Israel lo e ezabay Elohe Israel will not forsake them. He will not forsake, I 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 not forsake.